Okay, we're recording. Okay, so we're on Kuf Bey Zaman Aleph 102A, and again, we're very happy to have Sal Berger with us, and we hope he continues to have a refuah shleima. Okay, so Kuf Bey Zaman Aleph, top line of the Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah, again, is like many Mishnayot that are somewhat ambiguous, and the Gemara will clarify what it is, but I'll explain the Mishnah, and then I'll explain it according to one explanation of the Maskana. Manitana Zorek Vinizkar Me'acharshiyat Tam Yado. Let's say a person standing in the Rishut HaRabim, he picks up an object. Rashi sounds like he picks up a rock, and he throws the rock more than Dalet Amot. He forgot today was Shabbos. He picks up the rock, but then midway through the flight or the trajectory, he remembers, "Ay, what did I do? Today is Shabbos." So he did the Akira. He did the Akira in a state of Shogeg, but then he remembers midway. Then the Mishnah says, Kalta Acher, Kalta Kelev. Then someone intercepts the object. We're on Kuf, welcome, Livia. We're on Kuf Bey Zaman Aleph, so the second line. Kalta Acher, someone intercepts the object, or Kalta Kelev, or a dog, you know, is at the receiving end of it, like in its mouth. Oh, Shinistrafa, or it like incinerates, in other words, there's a fire at the other end, and it burns up, then he's Patur. So, We don't know what the pshat in the Mishnah is. The Gemara initially is going to think that this is all one case, meaning that he was shogeg to begin with, then mid-flight he becomes amazed, but Luyatsur, the object would land, he would still be shogeg, but then another object grabbed it at the end, so it's like shnayim shasa'ua. So the way Rava is going to explain the Mishnah is the Mishnah has two halakot. The first halacha is Zorik v'nizkar me'achar shi'atz tam yado. That if you throw it, and then midway you realize it's Shabbos, you're not chayav a korban chatat anymore. That's halacha number one. And then halacha number two, this is the way Rava is going to explain in the Gemara, halacha number two is, in the alternative, a different scenario, you threw it, but then somebody intercepts it. And it was like, I pick up a ball to throw the ball, and then somebody grabs the ball. So they're doing the Hanukkah, I'm doing the Akira. It's like similar to the first Mishnah in our Masechta. So in all those cases, I'm Patur. Then the third line of the Mishnah, Zarak Lasot Chabura. Now this case is different, even though it's a Zarak, the key issue is not the Zrika, it's not the Hotsa'a, is he's doing the Chabura. So the Chabura we're going to have, you'll have 1 second in the beginning of the okay, so in the beginning of Shmona Shratzim on Kuf Zion, so that's another 5 days. So the Gemara will talk about making a chabura, but this machloket Rishonim, everybody agrees that if you make a chabura, chabura is making a wound. Making a wound means I hit somebody and blood comes out. Everybody agrees that I violate Shabbos on a Torah level if I make a chabura on Shabbat. So the question is, what tolda is it? So it's machloket Rishonim. So some say it's a tolda of shochet, in other words, or netilat neshama. In other words, the dam hu nefesh. That's what the kati says. In other words, the pasuk says, like a person's blood is the soul. So I'm like taking part of his life from him by giving a wound. Or it might be because of tzoveya. Or it might be a din and mefarek, but anyway, clearly it's a malacha. So zarak lasot chabura, he picks up a rock and throws it with intent to make a wound, bein badam ubein babehima, in whether to wound a human or to wound an animal. He says v'nizkar ashlona aseid chabura, and then he remembers. In other words, he forgot today was Shabbos. It's not great to be making a chabura in general, but we're focusing on malachat Shabbos. So he picked up the rock and he forgot today was Shabbos, and he throws the rock. And then he remembers mid-flight, "Ay, today is Shabbos." And then it hits. He says, Patur. In that case as well, he's Patur from the Korban Chatat. Then, Zehaklal, the Mishnah says, this is the rule, the overarching principle. Kol chayvei chata'ot ein chayavin, ashei tzchilatan v'sofan shkaga. That for a Korban Chatat, you have to, the beginning has to be b'shogeg, and the end has to be b'shogeg. Tchilatan shkaga v'sofan zadon, but if the beginning was shogeg and the end was mazid, like we had in the earlier cases in the Mishnah, or tchilatan zadon v'sofan shkaga, if he began mazid and then became shogeg, he forgot, he says, p'turin ashti tchilatan v'sofan shkaga, until he shogeg throughout. Okay, any questions or comments on the Mishnah? Any comments, questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? What's up?
Yes. What is this guy chayav for?
So
he can't kill him. So what
right.
does he get?
He doesn't get anything bidei Adam. He's just bidei Shemayim. He's not korban chatat, and he's not in the case if let's say he was mazed and they switched to shogeg. he's not, and so it's just Bidei Shamayim. Okay, all right, let's go back on the Gemara. Okay, now again, so the Gemara does not know what the case of the Mishnah is. So I explain the Mishnah according to one explanation in the Maskana, but the Gemara thinks that the case of the Mishnah is one big case. So the big case in the Mishnah is that, again, the first case of the Mishnah, that we think he picks up an object, he throws it, he forgot today was Shabbos, he remembers midstream that it's Shabbos, and then kalta acher, somebody grabs it at the other end. So the Gemara says, hanacha chayav. So the implication of that halacha, which the Gemara is going to re-explain, but the implication of the halacha, as I've set forth, is that had it just come to rest naturally, the person would be chayav a korban chatat, notwithstanding the fact that it was shogeg to begin with, and then it changed midway. He's not shogeg anymore. Now he realizes it's Shabbos, so it changes to mazid. But lo nizkar, but the Gemara says, but he remembered midstream. He says, utanan, we learned in the Mishnah just a few lines ago, that all the chayve chataod are not chayve korban chatat to the beginning of the malacha shogeg and the end of the malacha shogeg. Yet the implication of the Mishnah is that if you would pick up an object, you forgot today was Shabbos, you throw the object, and then you forgot midstream, and then it lands, you'd be chayav a korban chatat. And the Mishnah not, because we think somebody else grabbed it at the other end, but had the other person not grabbed it, then you would be chayav a korban chatat. So that's a kasha. That explanation contradicts the other principle that's set forth in the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Kahana, Seifa Atan, Lelichta Umitna. So Rav Kahana says, now, Rav Kahana is saying, in hachinami, you would be chayav a korban chatat if you throw the object and you remember midstream, you're still chayav a korban chatat. So, but the case in the Mishnah that it talks about, that it has to be techilatan v'sofan shkaga, is a more limited case. And he says, it's talking about where lelichta u'mitna, lichta is a clamp, and mitna is a rope, a clamp and a rope. Now, unfortunately, we have some nice pictures here. Let me see if I can get a nice picture for you. Let me see. All right. So, let's see. Okay. So here's one picture. Everybody see the donkey? The donkey has the load on both sides, and then the lichta is this clamp. You see the thing? This looks like a slingshot type of piece of wood. So, I don't know, Rashi describes it as like a U, and it's used to clamp together. You see, here's the piece of wood. It's used to place on the donkey to hold everything, and then there's a string that's connected to it. Let me show you another picture. Okay, here's another picture. You see this picture? So here, you see the horseshoe thing? His picture is a little different. You see the horseshoe thing with the string, and then you have the donkey again. All right, so let's go back now. Let me go back. So the Gemara says, Seifa atana lichta umitna. The case in the Seifa is where the person is holding onto a rope and he throws the clamp. So now he's in control of the object throughout. So if he's in control of the object throughout, so then he has to be shogeg throughout to be chayv shogeg. But we think where he throws an object and now he loses control of the object, notwithstanding that he realizes in mid-flight that it's Shabbos, in Achinami, he'd still be chayav a korban chatat. That's the way Rav Kahana understands the Mishnah. Everybody have it? So in other words, we think, the Gemara is going to reject this in a few lines. The Gemara thinks, if I throw it, I'm like finished. That's it. Gemarnu. I threw it, I'm finished with it. It was shogeg. And now whatever I think doesn't make a difference. But if I have the lichta umitna, the clamp and the rope, where I'm throwing the object, but I still am holding on to one end of the rope, so I could pull it back, I could interrupt it, you know, mid-flight, then I have to be shogeg throughout. That's what I think. That's what the Rav Kahana thinks the pshat in the Mishnah is. And when the Mishnah says, t'chilatan v'sofan, he's talking about lichta umitna. So he says, lichta umitna ogdo biyadahu. So the Gemara says, how does that make sense? Lichta umitna, he never lets go of the rope. If he never lets go of the rope, how could he ever be chayev for hotza'ah? In other words, hotzah by definition is I let go of the object travels from point A to point B. With lichta umitna, I'm holding on to the rope. So there's no scenario under which I could ever be chayav for hotzah or hachnasa with lichta umitna. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara modifies the pshat. The Gemara says, kagon shekabin la'asot chabura. So perhaps the case that that the Tana of the Mishnah is talking about, you have tchila tova sofo, is not a case of hotza'a, but it's similar to the case that we had elsewhere in the Mishnah. He's throwing the lichta, which is that wooden piece that was shaped like a U, and he wants to wound a human or he wants to wound an animal. And so nothing to do with hotza'a, he just wants to wound the person on Shabbat, which we know is a malacha. That's what we said, that was a malacha, to wound somebody on Shabbat. So he throws it, but he holds on to one end of the rope. Then, and under those circumstances, in order to be a shogeg, I think that he has to be shogeg throughout. But with other things, once I let go of it, it's gamarnu. So the Gemara says, hanami tanina. But the Gemara says, I learned that explicitly in the Mishnah. He says, in other words, I don't need the Mishnah to teach me, you know, kol shechilat tam v'sofan shkaga, to teach me that case, because the Mishnah says explicitly, hazorek la'asot chabura, bein badam, bein b'behema. If a person throws an object to make a chabura, to make a wound in a man or an animal, v'nizkor ad shlono aseit chabura patur, and he remembers before the chabura is made, he's patur. So that I know explicitly from the case in the Mishnah. So, and right now, presumably we would think that it's talking about the Lichto Mitna case. So Ella Amar Rava. So now this is not Rava's final explanation. Rava says that the case, so again, we're still going with the Malach, that when I throw something and it leaves my dominion and control, that's the end of the analysis. So if I threw up a shogeg, the fact that I realize that a Shabbos in the middle doesn't make a difference. I'm still going to be Chayav Korban Chatat. So what's the case that the Tana of the Mishnah says that Tchilatan V'Sofan has to be B'Shogeg? So Elam Arava B'Ma'avir. So Rava says the case is where I'm carrying the object. In other words, it's similar to the Lichta Mitna, that I'm on, that it's under my dominion and control every moment of the way. So if I'm carrying an object, I have an object in my pocket, let's say, or in my hand, and I'm walking with it, so I have to be shogeg throughout in order to be chayav korban chatat. If I'm shogeg when I do the akira, and then I remember midway that it's Shabbos, and then I put it down, so I won't be chayav korban chatat. So that's a nice pshat. It fits in. Conceptually, it fits in. But the Gemara says, "Vahazeh haklal dekatani azrika katani." But when it says "zeh haklal," it's working off the idea of zrika, throwing something. So the way that Rava is explaining it, throwing is definitely the case where "zeh haklal" does not apply. In other words, you have the specific case in the Mishnah, and then it says "zeh haklal." This is the overarching principle. But the overarching principle, the way we're explaining it, cannot apply to a case of Zrika. A case of Zrika, I let it out of my control. The overarching principle is only when I'm Mavir, when I'm walking with it. So Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava says, and I'll pause another 6-7 lines, we'll summarize and we'll take everybody's questions and comments. So he says, Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava says, Tarti Katani. This is the way I explained the Mishnah initially, that there are two disparate halakhot in the Mishnah. Hazorek v'nizkar me'achar she'yatzta miyado. If a person throws an object and midway he realizes today is Shabbos, so then he will not be chayav korban chatat. Differently than they were explaining the Mishnah. It's two cases in the Mishnah. So I throw it in shogeg, and then before hanacha I realize today is Shabbos. So the akira is in a case of shogeg, and the hanacha is a case of mezi because I realize it's Shabbos. He says, inami, or in the alternative, case number two in the Mishnah, lo nizkar, he never remembered that today was Shabbos, but kalta acher, v'kalta acher, somebody else. I throw the object, and somebody like it's like football. Somebody grabs it before it lands. He says, "O kalta kelev," or a dog grabs it with its mouth. He says, "O shenisrafa," or it incinerates upon landing. It's landing in a fire or an oven, so it incinerates. Then I'm patur. Okay, so again, so there's one more pshat I want to do, and then I'll pause and we'll summarize. So the basic idea we're saying in the Mishnah is that I have to be shogeg throughout. So if I'm shogeg when I do the akira, and then I just throw it, and then the hanacha is a case of mezid, I'm not chayav korban chatat. And similarly, if I throw it and I'm shogeg throughout, but somebody else completes it, or you know, in other words, the dog grabs it, or somebody grabs it at the other end. So then that's like shnayim shasa'u. It's like two people doing the malacha, and I'm patur from the korban chatat. Let me just do another 6-7 lines, and then I'll pause. Okay. So Ravashi says chisuri mechzer b'hachi katani. Ravashi says no. The Mishnah is speaking about one case. He says, and this is the way that I should understand the Mishnah. if a person throws an object and he remembers after it leaves his hand, he says, Kalta acher or kalta kel of oshinistrafa, and then somebody else, you know, grabs it, or the dog grabs it, or nistrafa is patur, hanacha chayev. So from there, I could extrapolate that if it landed, he would be chayev. So the Gemara says, Bamedvar murim, this part we're adding on, shechazar b'shachach. In other words, in essence, the second formulation of Ravashi is not disagreeing with what we said. The second formulation of Ravashi is saying that if I throw it and I forgot today is Shabbos, and then midway I remember it's Shabbos, and then I forget it's Shabbos when it lands. So I have shogeg, mezid, shogeg. So the akira is shogeg, in the middle it's mezid, and then the hanaka is shogeg. So I'll be chayev. Aval, lo chazar v'shachach, patur. But if I didn't forget again, that I'm patur. Shekul chayev chatao, it ain't a chayavin, ashtay tchilatan v'sofan shkaga. You're not chayev a korban chatat, but nobody's chayev any korban chatat, unless the beginning and the end is shogeg. Okay, let me just summarize again what we did, and then we'll go further. Okay? And it's not the same here without Fern. Fern, if you're listening to this online, we miss you. Okay, now, the idea in the Mishnah, it comes out of the Maskana that what we're saying is, if I throw it, I pick up an object, I throw it, and I forgot today was Shabbos, and then midway, I remember, what did I do? Today is Shabbos, and then the object lands, I'm not chayav a korban chatat, because I'm not shogeg anymore for the hanacha. I was only shogeg for the akira, not shogeg for the hanacha. Similarly, if I pick up an object and I throw it, and I'm shogeg to the end, but instead of the object landing on the ground, somebody else grabs it, like football. Somebody grabs the other object. So it's like shnayim shasa'ua. Not like, it is. It's two people doing a malacha. Or the dog grabs it. So then I'm not chayev. Then I'm not chayev. So, okay, now who's got questions, comments, and thoughts?
Yeah, I have a question. Could you clarify hakira and hanacha?
Yeah, akira is when I lift an object off from its place of rest. Hanacha, when I place it down in a place that's rest. Akira, uprooting. Hanacha, putting it down. Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, if I'm intending to injure somebody with a rock, okay, and I throw the rock, and in the middle I say, oh, by the way, today's Shabbos, am I guilty of some kind of a sin or not?
Again, you have to be mechalek. In other words, we're just focusing on the dinim of Shabbos. Just the dinim of Shabbos. It's wrong. There's a different aveira. If I hit somebody, that's a different law in the Torah. But we're focusing on the...
So that's my point. In other words, you've committed an aveira, but you haven't necessarily committed a malacha, a violation of
right.
Shabbos.
Right. Our only question is, am I doing a malacha? So,
okay.
Or am I doing a malacha that's... Am I doing an act that's a chi of korban chatat?
You're doing a malacha.
Yeah, clearly I'm doing malacha, but I'm a chayav a korban chatat. So the Gemara says that if I pick up the rock and I forgot today was Shabbos, I throw it at the person, and then before it hits the person, I realize today is Shabbos, I'm not chayav a korban chatat.
Now, how does one determine that you made this sudden revelation?
So you've asked me this before. It would depend on the person. He would come to a rabbi and say, do I need to bring a korban chatat? And the rabbi would say, well, what exactly happened? And then he would say, no, you know, you can't bring a korban chatat. You know, that would be the way it would go. Now, if it's a mazed situation, then there would be Adim who would warn him ahead of time and say, you know, you should know that if you pick up this rock and throw it, then you're going to be chayev for Chilul Shabbos for making a chabura. Fern, welcome. It's so nice to have you, Fern. I gave you special mention a minute ago. Anyway,
in other words, the person doesn't have to, in the middle of the act, say, oh my, he doesn't have to verbalize some declaration. He could just subjectively, after the fact,
right.
say, oh, by the
right.
way,
right.
it's not, it
right.
was Shabbos.
In other words, by when we speak about a korban chatat, again, a korban chatat is like the Torah gives you an opportunity to expunge your avera, to get kapara. And it's talking about a person who wants to do tshuva, he wants to do the right thing at that point in his life. So that it would depend on what he would say. Okay, any other questions?
I'm troubled by the fact that if he threw, first of all, I don't know how high is he threw it, higher than 10 tefachim, that object's in a makom patur. Now it's in a makom patur on the descent, and he says, "Oy gavalt, it's Shabbos."
Yeah. Again,
he went from a Malcolm Patur
right.
down by gravity, not on his force.
Right.
Why would he ever be Chayev?
Okay. So let's say the case that that would be the case, but let's assume that it never went above 10 tefachim.
Ah, so that's all. That's all.
No, I'm saying, do you understand that case? In other words,
yes. Say
he picks
yes.
it up. And he's shogeg throughout. So going, yes. so the going. We went through this in the previous Gemaras when I.
Right.
So I'm still chayiv, even though it goes through partially. If I'm zorek and it goes through the makom p'tur and lands in the rishus harabim, I'm still chayiv. So What?
That was Shabbos's daf.
That was Shabbos's daf. So the One second. Shabbos daf was a little different. Shabbos daf was kuf amid beis. I gave that. One second. Yeah. Anyway, the key is that it has to land in the Rishus HaRabim. That's the key. It has to land in the Rishus HaRabim. The fact that it goes through a little bit, you know, Lamala Meyasara, he doesn't exculpate him from his chayvus. He's still obligated for the malacha. In other words, he does the akira in the Rishus HaRabim, does lanach in the Rishus HaRabim, and even though part of it went through the makom p'tur, he's still chayv. That's what I believe. I think we had that, but I need to go over a little bit. But I think that's what we said. That's what we said, right? All right. Anyway, all right.
No, but here the difference is, as the trajectory comes down,
right.
only at that point does he realize that this is an aveira,
right?
This the akira was
right. That's the case in the Gemara. All right. Okay. I'm going to move on. All right. Now, all right. Welcome, Fern. Fern, are you still there? So we're around 20 lines from the bottom on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Fern, are you there? Fern? All right. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Zeha klal, chai b'chataot v'chulei. So we said, this is the overarching principle that if it's chai b'chataot, if it's something that, you, like an aveira, that you be chai b'korban chatat, it has to be beginning shogeg and the end shogeg. So itmar, shteyamot shogeg, shteyamot b'mezid, shteyamot b'shogeg. So it's not clear yet. The Gemara will clarify shortly. But if I'm in the Rishus HaRabim and I cause an object to go two amot in a state of shogeg, then two amot in a state of mezid, then two amot in a state of shogeg. So either I'm carrying or throwing the object. So it has a course. Let's say I'm carrying the object. So I walk two amot in a state of shogeg, then I walk two amot in a state of mezid. So now the malacha is walking or doing four amot in the Rishus HaRabim. So when I walk four amot in the Rishus HaRabim, the first two amot were shogeg and the last two were mezid. But then I walk another two amot in the state of shogeg. So he says, Rab Amar Patur, Rav Amar Chayev. So Rabba says that he's Patur and Rabba says he's Chayev. Now Rabba was actually a Talmud of Rabba, and one might think it's a little strange that he would be cholik with his Rebbe, but it's going to come out from the Maskan of the Gemara that he's not cholik, and neither one is cholik with the other. The one is talking about Zorek and one is talking about Mavir. They're talking about two different things. So Rabba Amar Patur, Rabba says he's Patur. He says, Afil Rabba Gamliel da Amar, Eini di lechatzi shir. So Rabba Gamliel, this is a Gemara coming up on Friday's daf, which is Shabbos Kufhei. If a person, in a state of shogeg, he writes one letter, and then he has yediya, then he's reminded that today is Shabbos, and then he forgets today is Shabbos, and he writes the second letter. So Rabbi Gamliel says, ein yediya l'chatzi shir. Now, when we talk about korbanot chatat, you know, the ikar is all these yediyas that come up. In other words, if, you know, can you see me, the phone is ringing, please see me for just 1 second. Okay. So I'm with you. Anyway, so if I write one letter in a state of shogeg, and then I realize it's Shabbos, and then I forget it's Shabbos, and I write the other letter in a state of shogeg. So he says here, let's see back in the Gemara, we're on Kuf Beis, right? So he says, So even according to Rabbi Gamliel, he says there's no yediya for chatzi shir, meaning I'm going to ignore the fact that he had a yediya in between, and I'll categorize this as shogeg. So one letter he wrote in the state of shogeg, then he knew it was Shabbos, and he forgot it was Shabbos. So the second letter he writes in the state of shogeg. So I'm going to combine both those together and say he did a malacha of a shogeg. Even Rabbi Gamliel, hatamhu dechika gamar shiur b'shogeg gamar. When he finishes the shiur, in other words, sof kol sof, when he wrote one letter, it was shogeg. When he wrote the second letter, it was shogeg. He just had a yediya in between. So both he ended up doing in a state of shogeg. He says, aval hacha divamezid lo. Here, in this case, where he's walking, and the first two amot in a state of shogeg, then the next two amot in a state of mezid. So when he does dalet amot, so it's half shogeg, half mezid. So Mela there, so over here, Rabbi says he's patur. He's not chayav a korban chatat. To have a korban chatat, it has to be the beginning and the end shogeg. So the malacha is mavir arba amot, carrying four amot in the rishus of rabim. So here he did two amot in a state of shogeg, two amot in a state of mezid. So it's not comparable. In other words, over there the acts are all in a state of shogeg, even though there was a yediyah in between. Here, half the act is not a state of shogeg. Half the act is a state of mezid. So then the Gemara says, Uvamai, what exactly is the case that Rabbi is talking about where it's patur? Ib zorek, he says, if we'll say it's a case of zorek where he throws the object. So if I throw the object and the whole trajectory is six amot, and the first two amot I was shogeg, the next two amot I was mezid, last two amot is shogeg, he says, that qualifies as shogeg, because the beginning of the malacha was shogeg and the end of the malacha was shogeg, and that's the only thing I'm concerned with, so it's shogeg. He says, Ella b'ma'avir. So Rabbo is talking about his ma'avir, I'm carrying in my pocket, carrying in my hand, and memela, in that case, I'm not chayav korban chatat. That's what Rabbo says. Okay, let me just do a few more lines and we'll pause. Now here it says Rabbo, but it means Rava. On the side he corrects it to Rava. Rava amar chayav. Rabbi says, in that case, with two amot shogeg, two amot mezid, two amot shogeg, Rabbi says, I'll be chayiv. He says, vafilu rabbanan. Now, in the Gemara later on with the two letters, is a machlok between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim on Friday's daf. I write one letter. I forgot today was Shabbos. I write one letter. Then I remember today is Shabbos. And then I forget today is Shabbos. And I write the second letter. So Rabbi Gamliel says, that's it, I'm chayav a korban chatat. And the Chachamim say, no, I'm not chayav a korban chatat, because in between there was a yediyah. In other words, we know by the chiv korban, you know, if I do a malacha and then I realize that the malacha is prohibited, I realize it's Shabbos, and then I do it again, and I'm chayav two korbanot chatat. That's right, let's say I water the lawn, then I forgot today was Shabbos, and then I remember Shabbos, then I water the lawn again. So I'm chayav two korbanot chatat. Okay, so he says here, v'afilu rabbanan da'amri yesh yediyah l'chatzi shir. Come and say, that does count as a yediyah. In other words, that yediyah in the middle counts, and I'm not chayav korban chatat by the two letters, hatam hu deviado. So they only say it over there because it's within, each act is his own volitional act. He is deciding at each point, am I going to go forward and write this letter? Am I going to go forward and write the second letter? So Mela, he's in control of all the events, and he had a yediyah in between. So Mela, he's not chayav a korban chatat. Aval hacha de'ein biado, here where he's going to say it's a case of zorek, where I throw the object, so I can't retrieve it anymore. In other words, once I throw it, it's like out of my hands, out of my rishus, lo. Uvamai, so what's the case he's speaking about? Ibamavir harebiado. If he's carrying it, he is in control of the object. Ve'ela b'zorek. It's talking about a case of zorek. So let's just repeat again, okay? So, and then we'll do this a little bit for Fern also as well. We have the case of the person, he does two amo, he's transporting an object, six amot in Rosh Hashanah. The first two amot, he's in a state of shogeg. He forgot today was Shabbos. The next two amot, a state of mezid. The next two amot, a state of shogeg. That's the case. So we thought at first blush it sounded like a machloka between Rabba and Rava. So Rabba says in that case he's patur. He's not chayav korban chatat. And Rabbah says he's chayev. So it comes out in the end that Rabbah holds he's patur, because Rabbah takes it that the case at least that Rabbah is talking about is b'mavir, that I'm walking with an object, and then I walk 2 amot in a state of shogeg, then I walk another 2 amot in a state of mezid, and then I walk another 2 amot in a state of shogeg. So when the malacha is completed, the dalet amot are traversed. So it was beginning with shogeg and it ended with mezid. It was the first 2 amot were shogeg, the last 2 amot were mezid. So I'm patur. It's shogeg and mezid mixed together. Don't make a korban chatat. And then Rava's case is I throw the object. So I throw the object and it arches over and lands 6 amot away. So during the first 2 amot, I was shogeg. This next 2 amot, I was mezid. The next 2 amot, I was shogeg. So the beginning was shogeg and the end is shogeg. So Mela, there it left my dominion and control. Once I threw it, it's out of my dominion and control. And I'm not, like, each act is not a new act. Because, you know, so then he says, I am chayav a korban chatat. All right, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let me finish the perek, and I think the next perek will be easier for everybody. So we're 6 to 8 lines from the bottom. Now, again, we have, it should be Rava with an olive. I'm a Rava. Zarak v'nacha b'fi akel v'fi kibshan chayav. So Rava says, if I throw an object and it lands in the dog's mouth, or it lands b'fi akibshan, in the mouth of an oven, I'm chayav for hotza'ah. I'm chayav for mavir, if it's the Rishus Rabim, Dalet Amos, Rishus, whatever the case is, I'm not chayav. I am chayav. So the Gemara says, Vanantanan kalta echer or kalta kelvo shenisrafa patur. We learn in the Mishnah that I'm exempted. So how can Rabbah teach me I'm chayav when the Mishnah says I'm patur in those cases? He says, hatam delo mechavein. So in the case of the Mishnah, it was not my intent that the object should end up in the animal's mouth. It was not my intent that it should end up in the Pia Tanur, but it did end up there. He says, Hacha de Kamachavein. Here he's machavein this way. So it's coming out this way. In other words, the dog's mouth is not a makom arbal arba. In other words, remember, we learned in the beginning of the first parak, in order to be considered a reshus of hanacha, I have to put it on a surface which is at least 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. So if a dog grabs it or lands in the dog's mouth, so a dog's mouth is not arbal arba. But where I intend, what the Gemara is articulating, where I intend that it should end in the dog's mouth, I'm machshiv. In other words, I could be machshiv. I could be machshiv the dog's mouth as an important spot, and then it will be considered to be a hanacha. At least that's the way Rashi learns. Now, Amar Abibi Bar Abai. Now, presumably, the same thing takes place when I intend that it should end up in a place where it gets incinerated. Somehow that also counts as a hanacha. That case is a little harder to dice up, but that's what he says. Now, Amar Abibi Bar Abaye, Afanan Amitanina. Rabbi Bar Abaye says, we learn the same thing in the Mishnah Masechet Kritot, meaning that when I'm machshiv something, so it changes its status. It's the idea achshave. You have a lot of ideas in halacha. If I'm machshiv something, through my consideration of something, I can change its status. So he says, Yesho chel achila achat. Sometimes a person can have one achila. He eats a kzayit of an object. V'chayev aleha arba chatot. And he'll win the grand trifecta of korbanot chatat. With his one eating, he'll be chayev for korbanot chatat. He says, v'asham achad. And one korban asham, which is the asham ilot. What's the case? Hatame shachal chelev. He's tamei and he eats chaylev. Chaylev is the forbidden fat. So if a person eats chaylev, so b'mezid is chayev karet, b'shogeg is chayev a korban chatat. So he ate a kezayis of chaylev, that's one korban chatat, v'hu notar. And then it was notar. Notar, it was last korban left past the right time. That's another chi of korban chatat. He says, min amukdashim, and he eats it from, it was kachim, meaning even if he's a kohen, but it was supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. So he's a tamei eating mukdashim. That's a third korban chatat. We said he was tamei and he's eating mukdashim. In addition to which, nobody's supposed to eat it because the chaylev is supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. So he's chayav asham ilo, a korban asham for that. And b'yom kippurim. And of all days, he does it on Yom Kippurim. So he's chayav a fourth korban chatat for eating it on Yom Kippurim. Rabbi Meir Omer, afim ayta Shabbat. Rameir says, if that day was also Shabbos and he has the chalev in his mouth, and he's walking, so he's chayev for hotzah. He walks from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Harabim, he'll be chayev for hotzah. Now, Rashi points out, why did it say on Shabbat, if you look at Rashi, three lines to the bottom, Afmaita Shabbahule, Ushim Yom Kippur Lumachayev Bahotza'a, Sabra Ein Erev Bahotza'a Yom Kippurim. Remeir holds that the Torah does not prohibit carrying on Yom Kippurim. That's what Remeir holds. We hold not that way. Remeir holds that on Yom Kippur, you're not chayev for Hotza'a. So therefore he says, if it's Shabbos as well, it was Yom Kippurim coincides with Shabbos, so the person will be also chayev for Hotza'a, because he's motzi in his mouth. So, three lines to the bottom in the Gemara, Amrulo, Einu Menashem. So, Chamim said to Rav Meir, that's like totally different. We're talking about eating. You eat an object and you chayev korban chatat. You're talking about you walking around in the mouth. That's a horse of a different color. So, it's not part of our calculation. But, whether it's part of the calculation or not, they both agree with the holding that if I have the chalev in my mouth, I'm chayev for hotza'a. Now, if you remember, we learned in the Mishnah, it was on Daf, Daf Tzadi Beis. So if you look back on the Mishnah on Tzadi Beis 92a, so we said that if a person carries, so he says, if you look on the third line in the Mishnah, Kila Achar Yado Baraglo Befiv. If a person carries something Kila Achar Yado in an irregular fashion, or he carries it on his foot, or Befiv, in his mouth, so he's Patur, right? That's what we learned in the Mishnah. That's the Davar Muskim. I carry something in my mouth, I'm Patur. So nevertheless, here, all the Tanaim agree, I'll be chayev for hotzah. It's just they disagree whether it's part of the calculation or not. So how is that working? He says, Elo, and back in the Gemara, on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, two lines, the last first white line. So he says, V'amai ha'ein derech hotzah b'kach. That's not the derech hotzah, so how could he possibly be chayev on a Torah level? So he says, Elo, came into kamachavin, machshavto m'shavile makom. Since it's his intent, he intends to eat the food while he's walking, so he's machshiv that makom. In other words, when I'm transporting an object, I have a diamond ring in my mouth, that's klachar yad. People don't take the diamond ring out that way. And similarly, if I have put food in my mouth and I'm transporting from point A to point B, that's also klachar yad. If I have the food in my mouth and I want to eat it as I'm walking, so then I'm machshiv my mouth as a regular place, you know, for transportation. In other words, that which is klach or yad, I'm making it now derech hotzah, making it derech hotzah. So he says, hachanami came into kamachavi mashtum shavi lemakom. So too here with the dog, when he throws it, if he intends that it to land in the dog's mouth, he's machshiv it as a makom. That's not so pashut. And the Mefarshim ask questions on this. They aren't exactly comparable. In one case, he's machshiv that which is not dalad by dalad is now a makom. In the other case, it's the derech hotzah. In other words, like he's carrying something and he's being machshiv something which would normally be kilach or yad to be you know, a derech hotzah. But the point is that a person, through his actions and thoughts, can sometimes, you know, have an impact on what would otherwise be the normative halacha. All right, so the basic idea we had here is that, it has to be shogig in the beginning and shogig at the end. And I guess that's it. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts, anything we did? All right. Anyway, so yesh koach, so hadronalach hazorek. Okay, now we're beginning the new perek, and this we're turning a real new page here, both physically, literally, and figuratively. Now we're sort of moving away from hotza'a and getting to some of the other malachot on Shabbat. All right, so the top line of the mission says, habona kam yivnevi hechayev. Now, how much does that binyan, bona, is one of the avot malachot. So if a person builds on Shabbos, how much does he have to build? So we know that it has to be always something which is chashuv for all the malachot, but what's chashuv when it comes to building? So habona kolshu, if a person builds any amount at all. Now, if you look at the top tosfos on the top right-hand corner, habona tzerichli tingtam amai tani bona har zrika v'hotza. The tos asks the question, what is bona doing here? We just finished zrika and hotza that I got. How did I get, this is like your type of question, Fern. So what am I doing here with bona? What does bona have to do, you know, with anything? So the Tosfos Yontif discusses this, and I thought I would go here. Let me see if I can find Tosfos Yontif for you. Okay, everybody see the Tosfos Yontif here? Nod if you see it. Okay, so here's the Tosfos Yontif. It says habona. You see the hour, right? Katfu a Tosfot. Sirichli teintam amai tani habona kar zrika botzad kam l'shonam. So first he quotes Tosfos, and then he says v'linire la teintam da char shapiresh dine hotzaa. After the Tana has explained what laws of hotzaa, di siyuma davot malachot. That's the end. The last of the Lamatet Malachot is Motzi Mirashut Rashut. It's Malacha number 39. So now he wants to go to Malacha in the order of Malacha, which is near Hotza'ah. Behu Makeb Apatish. So the 38th Malacha is Makeb Apatish. You're hammering, you're doing the last step to complete the object. Since Makeb Patish is connected to Bona, Umalecha Binyan Shchiach Tfei Tuva, and Binyan is very common, Hilchach Nakir Abona Koda Makeb Patish. So he teaches that first. Ukmosh Katfu B'Siyat Shmai B'Shem Atosot Bereish Perakama, Demai D'Shchiach Tuva Makti Matana L'Shono Tokodim. That which is more common, the Tana teaches first. So, let me just mention with the Tosos Yantiv, a number of people here, I think, knew or remember Bert Agus, the Zichrono Livracha. So he was a descendant of the Tosfos Yantiv. The Tosfos Yantiv lived in the 17th century through the Gzeirot Tach V'Tat, the Chmelnytsky pogroms. And he felt that they had come about because people were talking in shuls. That's what he felt that all it had come about. And he composed a special Misha Beirach for people who are quiet in shul, that they should get a special bracha. That's from the Tosfos Yantiv. And he also, they have in the family of the Tosfos Yantiv, they have a special Megillah when I think the family was saved from calamity. And I think they have a fast and they read that Megillah each year. As the centuries go by, like the number of people of the family expands and expands and expands. All right. So anyway, that's the Tosfos Yantiv. Let's see back in the Mishnah. So the top line of the Mishnah, Michael, you still with us? Anyway, I think we lost Michael. So Habona kami b'nevi hei chayev, Habona kol shehu, a person builds any little bit, v'hamisateit, if a person chisels the stone, so we'll see, we'll have to clarify in the Gemara what malacha that is. It's either going to be bona or makeb patish. He says, v'amakeb patish. Makeb patish is, he takes the hammer, but it means he does the final act. He says, uvamatzad, a sledgehammer. And if you look at Rashi says, v'amakeb patish, gamhu ba'avot malachot. I tell you, let me, we're getting late, so let me just go on. He says that the makeb patish, the way Rashi explains it, let me go to my picture book, Where is it? Well, here, share screen. Okay, let me go back to picture book. Here's picture book. So here, you see the picture? Okay, you see the rock? So Rashi says that when you're quarrying a rock and then you hit the last hammer, this is the way he understands it, hitting it there. I thought hitting it here. But anyway, you do the final hammer. So Bamela, That's the malacha. All right. Now, okay. Then let's see back in the Mishnah. Now, hakodeach kol shehu, if a person drills any amount, and again, we'll have to clarify what malacha that is. Chayav zeklal kol osa malacha malachto mitkayemet. Whoever does a malacha, and the malacha means it lasts. It has lasting. B'Shabbat chayav. So if he does it on Shabbos, he's chayav. So the way Rashi understands that line of the Gemara, it's as if it says, "Kula osa malacha b'Shabbat." Whoever does malacha on Shabbos, umlachtom et kayem et chayav, and then it like leas, he's chayav. Some understand the Mishnah differently. Some understand umlachtom et kayem et b'Shabbat. It just has to last through Shabbos. In other words, devar mit kayem just for Shabbos, he's chayav. But that's not the way Rashi learns. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Meir, if a person, he takes his hammer and he hits the anvil with nothing on the anvil, he just hits the hammer on the anvil, he's chayav for a malacha, and the Gemara will explain what that malacha is. If you look at the Rashi, you see the Rashi Kornis? Everybody see the Rashi on the Mishnah of the Kornis? It's a few lines above the Gemara. It's around the 10th narrow line in Rashi. Kornis, Rashi says, Martil. Now, who can relate that word to a personality in Western history? What do you have for me? Oh, Livy, I think, knows this. What do you got? Unmute yourself, Livy. Let me hear. Unmute yourself, yes.
Charles Martel.
Exactly right. she had a leg up because she knew the French, but in English, Charles Martel, right? I think he was the father of Charlemagne, right? And there's the, the French leader, so to speak, in French history. So you had an advantage on this. So all the French, you had an advantage on Olivia. But you see, Martel is a hammer. It means Charles the Hammer. That's what he's called, Charles Martel. He was the hammer. Okay, so you see Rashi Martel. Okay,
let's see.
Right, like the Maccabim. Well, it might be that way. There's a question what Maccabi means, but some learn that way. Okay, now, any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? Anybody have questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? All right. Okay, you gotta mute yourself again, Livia. Okay, let's see back.
Now,
the Gemara says, Kol Shehu L'may Chazia. So you say, Ambona Kol Shehu. What is a kol shehu good for? Ruth, you need to mute yourself, Ruth. Okay, he says that that if I do a kol shehu chayv, what is a kol shehu good for? Amar b'yermia, shkein ani chofer guma, lasnia ba prutotav. An ani, a poor person, will dig a small hole in his house to stick his copper coins there, his prutot. So it's a very small hole. And it means if I dig the hole, remember, if I dig the hole in my house, the floor is made of dirt, then it's bona. If I dig it outside, it's choresh. So it's bona. So if I dig the hole in the house to put some like pennies in there, so to speak, so that's the kol shehu. The chavata gabi mishkan, what's the analogous malacha in the mishkan? Because all the malacha would have to have like a sort of progenitor in the mishkan. He says, shekein tofer yiriot chofrin guma lahatzniya b'machatein. The people who would sew the curtains, they would dig a little hole to hide their needles there, So Abaye Amar came into Mishtache lo Abdi Hachi. Abaye says that doesn't cut it. Since they get rusty, nobody would stick the needles in the dirt in the ground. So he says, Ella, so rather Abaye says, Shekein ani oseh pitpute ki rektana l'shvodol kedei rektana. What's the kol shehu? An ani makes a small tripod to put a small pot, to put a small kira, a small oven on top of it, because he wants to put a small dish on top of the oven. He says, the chavata gabi mishkan, mevashle samanim litzboa yiriot, shechasra malachtan, osin pipute kiriktana, shvurla yoriktana. So he says, in the mishkan, the people who are like preparing the dyes, because they want to dye the yiriot. We said the yiriot are made of wool, right? They have tchelev yargaman v'tolat shani. You have the blue and the purple and the scarlet. So it's different colors. So they have a small stove to put a little pot on top, to cook the herbs to make the dyes. In other words, if they're short, a little bit of dye. So they'll prepare a small pot for a little bit of dye, and they'll have a tripod underneath that kira. So Rav Akbar Yaakov Amar in a niyapamakal mashir. Rav Akbar Yaakov says that doesn't cut it. The Mishkan is a very wealthy thing. They're not making small little amounts or anything. They're doing enough for everything. They don't run out of dye. They make lots of quarts of dyes. Ella. So rather, the Gemara says, this is the final answer. If a balabayit, he's got a wealthy mansion, a beautiful home, and he has a small hole in the wall, he says, the sotmo, and then he seals the hole with a little bit of clay. So he's got a small little hole, like a pit hole in the, or a little larger in the wall, and he seals it with clay. That's the kol shehu. The chavata gabi mishkan, and the analogous case by the mishkan, shkin keresh shenafla bodarna, if it's a keresh and a worm is like, eating into the beam, matif latocha avar besotmo. So they would drip lead into it and seal it off. So in the end, the Gemara says, again, bona koshu is chayev, and the end the Gemara says, it's like a case where person has a hole in the wall, he fills it with lead, and the analogous case by the Mishkan is that the worm made a small hole in the krashim, so they would fill it with lead and seal it up that way. Let me see if I have some pictures for you on this. Let me see which one I'm doing here. Share. Yeah, okay, let me do this. All right, so let me see. Okay, here you see the tripod. This is the way that the Perush Chai views the tripod. You see the small tripod, and I think that's the only thing he has. Yeah, that's the only thing. Yeah, that's the only thing he has on this. Okay, now, all right. Let me see back. All right. So let's see back on the Gemara. Any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody happy? Fern, you're okay. Malka, Olivia, everybody good? Okay, Yosef. All right. Let's go further. All right. Now We're up to Amar Shmuel in the small bays. Amar Shmuel, Hamitzadid Evan Chayav. If a person positions a stone on Shabbos, he's chayav. Now, we say stone, think of like the Kotel, the Herodian blocks at the Kotel. It doesn't have to be quite that large, but he's building a building, and he now takes this large block of stone, and he positions it in a way where it's like lying evenly, it's not tilting, like the ground is even underneath. He positions it in the right place, so he's chayav for bona. He's, according to Shmuel, he's chayav for bona on Shabbat. So Meifei, on this we ask a question from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Echanotin Evan, Echanotin Tit. If one person puts the stone there and the other person puts the cement there or the clay, Hanotin Tit Chayav. The person who applies the clay is Chayav. So Shmuel said, just placing the stone there, I'm Chayav. Yet the Braisa seems to say, it's nothing more than the stone. I got to like cement it in place. So the Gemara says, but according to your rationale, Ema Seifa. Let me say the Seifa that Braisa. It says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Vafilu He'alav, Iniach Al-Gabi Dima Shalavanim Chayev. According to Rabbi Yossi says that, again, Shmuel says I have to position the rock so it lies like evenly and everything is good. Rabbi Yossi says, even if you just put the stone on the row of bricks, you're chayev. I don't even have to position it. I put it on the row of bricks. That's it. I'm chayev. So that's not like Shmuel. It's not like the Tanakhama. How could I even be chayev in that case? Ela, the Gemara says. Now the Gemara is speaking. Ela, tlata binyani havu. There are three sections of building, three stages of building, if you're building with stone bricks. He says, tata, the lower, mitzia, the middle level, ve'ila, and the top level. Tata, so if I'm building a structure, bizman chazal, the lower level, so I need to position it and arrange the dirt so it's positioned properly and it's sitting solidly on the ground. Mitzia, the middle level, I'm going up like a row of bricks. By Namitina, also requires cement. So I'm building the structure. The higher levels require cement. He says, Eloi, the highest level, Behanacha Ba'alma. In other words, the top level, I just put it there. I don't have to worry about it getting everything so, you know, so positioned so wonderfully. It's strange, you know, I would want, I'd be afraid of it falling down, but but anyway, so the Gemara is saying that they're each talking about a different section of brick. So Shmuel was talking about the lower one, so I just have to position it and I'm good. That's with the dirt. And then the Tana, the Bryce, or the Tana Kam, the Bryce was talking about the middle bricks where I need cement. And then Rabbi Yossi was talking about the upper row of bricks, and then I just put it down, then I'm good. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
If you put the stone on and then you take it off, what's the status?
So when you put the stone on, you're chayav for bona. When you take the stone away, so you might be chayav for soter, for destroying.
Oh, so in other words, if I start to build and then I change my mind, you're still chayav.
You're not just still chayav. Now you're making it worse. You're doing two malachot.
All right. So in other words, once you start, you can't undo it.
I don't know what that means. And you could always undo it.
Because we had this whole thing about in the middle. I remembered it was Shabbos.
No. It means once you've completed the malacha,
right?
That's it. It's finished. So you
right. So in other words, once you put the stone on there, that's
all
closed.
The malacha. Like once I write the letter, I can't erase it and make it better. Now I'm doing more malacha. I'm erasing what I wrote. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay. Now, all right. So we're 10 lines from the bottom. And you see, like, even the hour is not enough. Okay, v'hamisatate, if a person chisels the stone, so it's a malacha, but we have to clarify what malacha. Misatate mishumai mechayev. What malacha is misatate mechayev for? Rav amar mishum bona. Rav says that's bona. I'm building, but in other words, I'm building a structure, and then I'm misatate, so that's building. And misatate, Rashi explained in the Mishnah, like I square it off, I'm attacking it properly. He says, Ushmul Amar Mishum Makib Patish. Shmuel says it's Makib Patish. It's the final act. So it means like this. I'm quarrying the stone. I quarry the stone, and then it looks like a stone. It's in a square cubic form. And then at the end, I chisel it to make it smooth, or I chisel like indentations in it. So Rav says it's Mechayev Mishum Bona when I chisel. And Shmuel says that's Makib Patish. Makib Patish means I'm hitting with the hammer, but it means doing the last act. That's Makib Patish. Now, we're going to have two other similar Machlokot. If a person makes a hole in the chicken coop, now this chicken coop, think of a big box, like a big wooden box, and he makes a hole in the top of the box because it stinks in the chicken coop, and now the air goes out and it works better for the chickens. He says, Rav Amar Mishum Bona. Rav says that the person's chayav because of Bona. Ushmul Amar Mishum Makeh B'Patish. And Shmuel says he's chayav because of Makeh B'Patish. In other words, that's the final act that creates the chicken coop. Then, Ail Shufta B'Kufina Demara. So a person has a hoe. You have the metal edge of the hoe, and you have the wooden handle, and he sticks the peg in that's going to cause the metal to be. In other words, the metal is secure in the handle, and then he puts the pegs to make it securely connected there. And let me see if we have a picture. Oh, here's his picture. You see his picture, 1048. So here's the metal. Here's the wood. And this is the way they have the picture. And again, Ruth, it doesn't have to be exactly this way. This is the way the person is imagining it. And then he sticks this peg in so that the metal will stay firmly in the connected to the handle. That's the way it's going with that. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Rav Amar Mishum Bona, Shmuel Amar Mishum Makeh B'Patish, Utsricha. It was necessary for Rav and Shmuel to teach me their machloket by all three cases. So I have three cases. In each one of the three cases, Rav holds it's melechet bona. In each one of the three cases, Shmuel holds makeh b'patish. The first case is chiseling the stone. The second case is making the hole in the chicken coop. And the third case is the putting the peg into this keli. How does he translate it here? I thought it was a hoe. What is it he's saying? It's a, what does he say?
Hoe.
A hoe?
Yes.
Okay, at least that's the way Artsville has it. Okay, it didn't look like a hole in the Perush Chai. Okay, let's
see. Steinsaltz also has it as a hole.
Who has it? Steinsaltz? Okay, thank you. Now, so the Gemara says, Utsricha, so it was necessary to teach me all three cases. Yashmin and Kamaita, if he only taught me the first case with chiseling the stone, but he come around, Mishum Zderach Binyan Bekach, I would say, that's bona, because that's the way people build a structure. They have they bring the stones in, they build a wall. That's bona. Aval osaneke belushal tarnagolim, but making a hole in the chicken coop, he says, the ain derech binyan bekach. That's not the way you normally build structures, you know, making a hole or whatever in the roof. He says, aim a modele to Shmuel. I would say that Rav agrees with Shmuel in that case. It's makeh b'patish. B'yashmina b'ha, and if you only told me the second case with the chicken coop, b'ha kama Rav, I say Rav there says it's bona, mishum t'dami l'binyan. He says the avdi l'avira. It's similar because when I build a structure, I build windows, I build doors, there is like, you know, air going into a house. So here he's just got the hole in the roof, but it's similar. It's like a window. So Rav would say it's bona. Aval shufta b'kufina demara, dein derech binyan b'kach, but when I stick like this peg in the hoe to secure the metal part of it, that's not derech binyan. Ema modele the Shmuel. V'yashmina b'ha. If you only tell me that last case, b'ha kamar Shmuel, I would say there Shmuel holds that it's makeh b'patish. Av b'harach tarti ema modele the Rav. I would say Shmuel agrees with the other two that I agree with Rav that it's bona tzricha. So I need all three cases. So of the three cases, the one that's most bona is when I'm chiseling the stone. The one that's least bona is when I'm sticking that thing that's the most close to makeh b'patish when I put the peg in to secure the metal. Now, I don't have time to get into this, but if you look at the third to last Tosfos, Haiman da Ail Shufta b'kufina, and so Rav Amar Chai Mishum Bona, so Tosfos v'afagav de Chaimelan ein binyan b'kelim. How can Rav say I'm Chai Mishum Bona? The Gemara has a klal, ain binyan b'kelim. When it comes to kelim, you're never chayav for bona with kelim. Bona is you're building a structure, and this mara is a hoe. So how can Rav say I'm chayav for bona? So he says Omer reed dehenu davka b'achzarat batei treisin oba menorah shel chuliot. It's only when I'm putting like the shutters back in like in this box or the menorah shel chuliot or the this menorah with different segments. He says, "Aval binyan gamur mechayev bekelim kamo bekarka." So the way Tosfos is saying is that if it's very secure and I'm making like a solid building with this, a structure, like here I have this keli and I'm putting this peg in, so the metal will always be secure to it. there could be Binyan Mikalim. That's what Tosos wants to say. Now, a lot of other things where, let's say, I put the menorah together, like take it apart, put it together, it's like an erector set, then ain't Binyan Mikalim. But where it's like secured and tight, and so then Tosos says it could be Binyan Mikalim, but there's a whole discussion among the Rishonim on this. All right, let me just wrap this, okay, and then we'll take a few questions, we'll go, okay? So the Gemara says, we're four lines from the bottom. Bamine Rav Natan bar Oshia and Rav Yochanan. So Rav Natan bar Oshia poses the following question to Rav Yochanan. Misateit mishumai mechayev. So this we had in the Mishnah. When I chisel a stone, what am I chayev for when I chisel the stone? Now, we had already that Rav and Shmuel had a machloket about this. Rav said bona and Shmuel said makeh b'patish. So we know it's a machloket, but Rav Natan bar Oshia asked Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan is in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav and Shmuel were in Bavel. Some Shmuel chayev. So he showed him with his hands, like it means like this. He took his, Rashi says he took his fist and hit it into his hand, meaning makeh b'patish. So he says makeh b'patish. So Rabbi Yochanan agreed with Shmuel. But in the Mishnah we learned that you're masateit, you're chiseling, or you're makeh b'patish. So it sounds like it's two different things. So it's ema hamasateit. Meaning hamasateit, i.e., that he's makeh b'patish. That's the way I should read the Mishnah. Okay, now Tashma, the top line on Kuf Gimel Min Aleph 103a, line 1. So hakodeach kol shehu chayev. We say that kodeach, drilling any amount, is chayev. Now we assume that now he's drilling with intent to refill it. And Rashi says, look at the top Rashi. It's interesting if you can collect these Rashis. Rashi gives you like fine points in Hebrew. If you're a kodeach, kol kodeach amanat lamalotu, litko bo yateid. He says, so if I'm drilling and I want to I intend to fill it with something, that's kodeach. V'shalol lamalot kari no cave. If I make a hole without intent to fill it, I call it no cave. So kodeach is drill, I'm going to fill the hole. And no cave is I make a hole and I don't intend to refill the thing. Now the Mishnah said, kodeach kosh was chayev. We assume that we'll have the same machloket here between Rav and Shmuel. Is it bone or is it makeh b'patish? So b'shleim el Rav, nechsi kaman the charchurta libinyana. So Rav would say it's like that's bone because kodeach is just like drilling the hole in the chicken coop. So drilling the hole in the chicken coop, Rav said was bone that I'm like creating like the ventilation system. So to hear kodeach, I'm drilling a hole. And that's also binyan because I'm making a hole in the binyan. It's for the benefit of the building. Now even though somebody still he says the hole drilling itself is a worthwhile improvement. Okay, quas finds malacha. He says Ela Shmuel lavgar mamlachahu. But Shmuel, how could Shmuel possibly say making a hole in a building is makeh b'patish? How is that makeh b'patish? How is that the last act? Hacha b'mayaskinan debaze baramset deparzla. So Shmuel will say that I'm kodeach. I drill a hole and hammer a nail into it. And I intend to leave the nail in there. I'll hang things from the nail. So that's why it's makeh b'patish. In other words, I built the house and now I take a nail. I nail a nail in the wall. I'm making a hole, but it's like having the nail there. So that's makeh b'patish according to Shmuel. All right, let me just do a few lines, then we'll take a few questions. Zeha klal to imai. When it's ever, it's like a rule of construction, a mishnayot. When it says zeha klal, it's including in a case that we didn't have explicitly. So what is it coming to include? Latuye dacha kfiza bakava. That let's say I have a mass, let's say it might be wood or something like that, and I hollow it out, but it's a kav. In other words, this piece of wood would hold the volume of a kav. I could hollow it out and make hold a kav. Instead, I hollow it out and it holds 3/4 of a kav. So, notwithstanding that, if I do a malacha and the malacha is mitkayemet, I'm chayev for it, even though more could be done. Then Shmuel said, if I take my hammer, I hit on the anvil, I'm also chayev for malacha. My ka'avid, what is he doing? Rabbi Rav Yosef, the Amri Tarvayu, Mimneshima Amir et Yado. So Rabbi Yosef say, I'm training myself. In other words, I want to build, and now I'm hitting the hammer to train myself with hitting the hammer. So he says, Kashuba b'nei Rachva. So b'nei Rachva, like, we're bothered with this. El Amiata, Chazit Umana b'Shabta b'Gamar, Hachanamid b'Chayiv. You mean if they observe a craftsman working on Shabbos, so they chayiv for a malacha? Like, I'm just learning how to do it. I'm not chayiv for that. In the Mishkan, they had a lot of gold, and they would cover things with gold, and the krashim were covered with gold. And gold, if you're familiar, you can make gold to a very thin layer. So the so when they would beat the gold, they would beat it three times, and then the fourth beat, they would just hit the anvil without the gold there, because they want the anvil to be smooth, the hammer to be smooth as well. So they would do three hits and then hit just the anvil without gold, so that the hammer is smooth. They don't want to like break the thin layer of gold. So he says that's the malacha. He says Tanina mihachi shulamir afamaka b'kurin salstam b'shat malach chayev himradadei tase mishkanas osin kain. So when they were hammering the gold, so sometimes it would just hammer the anvil, and that's to help them hammer. It's to make the hammer smooth, and that's the malacha, making the hammer smooth. All right. Who's had any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did? All right. So let me just end the recording. 1 second.